Welcome to this KPMG podcast on ESG reporting. This will be the first in a series of podcasts on environmental, social, and governance framework that discusses what it is, why it's important, and how to tackle it. Listen to Maura Hodge, National ESG Assurance Leader, and John Capone, Audit Partner, discuss the importance of ESG.
I'm John Capone. I'm the Boston Office Managing Partner, and I'm with Maura Hodge, KPMG's ESG Lead Assurance Partner, and also a proud Bostonian. Welcome, Maura.
Thanks, John. How are you?
Great, and welcome to our podcast. Maura, you spend all your time in ESG, and today, let's walk our listeners through where we are and where we're headed. And when we think about ESG, it feels like and it seems like we're reading and hearing ESG everywhere we turn. Yet, the environmental, social, and governance areas are really wide. With climate change, racial injustice, and inequity, how do all these things connect to ESG and business? Can you level set us?
Sure, John. So, you know, when I first start thinking about and talking about ESG, I like to picture it as an umbrella or a framework. And that framework is one that allows you to listen to your stakeholders and then integrate those topics, environmental, social, and governance risks and opportunities, into your business strategy to ultimately build long-term financial sustainability and value creation. It can be incredibly overwhelming to know where to start, and it's really easy to really just run from issue to issue and then pay lip service to those topics. We've historically heard about it or thought about it as greenwashing, or today the term social washing comes out. But the reality is that you really need to understand how these areas impact your business, your assets, and your operations.
More, I couldn't agree with you more. And when we think about the framework that you talked about, knowing that the E, the S, and the G is so broad, how do you break those three components up? How do you think about each one of them?
Let's start with the E, or the environmental. This one, most people are thinking about and talking about today, and it's about how a company acts in its role as a steward of nature. So the most accessible metric or thing that we talk about under the E pillar is energy use, which ultimately translates into greenhouse gas emissions. And we are hearing daily new companies who are setting net zero or carbon negative targets. And so that falls under the E pillar. We can also think about pollution, recycling practices, natural resource conservation, and in particular water, where water is scarce around the world. Then in the S pillar, or the social pillar, it examines how well a company manages their relationships with employers, suppliers, customers, and the community. So drilling down into some specific metrics that we often look at and think about, it's inclusion and diversity information, child labor in the supply chain, pay equity within the organization, and then the health and safety of employees, which really has moved to the forefront in the pandemic. And then finally, G, or governance, is concerned with a company's leadership. And this has been a hot topic for the past 10 years, with a focus on internal controls, executive pay, shareholders' rights. And these areas often do have some SEC regulation around them already.
Yeah, you know, more of the governance piece is probably where this started a decade or so ago, right? As you know, my background as an audit partner in mutual funds, you saw this with socially responsible funds. Now you've seen that morph and explode into ESG ETFs. I won't say that three times fast, but the point is, it's dominating the conversation. We care about what's happening in each of these pillars. And I thought maybe it's a chance for you to also talk about some of the companies that you've seen that recognize this importance and some of these early disclosures and how they're trying to reach out to their stakeholders.
Yeah, John, you know that I've been working on ESG topics for the past 10 years, and the conversation has just drastically changed over that time period. You know, 7 or 8 years ago, it was all about, you know, putting in our email signatures, please think twice about printing this piece of paper. and concerns about reputational risk and how social media was exploding all of these stories about companies around how they were treating their customers or how they were treating the animals in their supply chain. But, you know, it's really shifted. That conversation has changed because, to your point, investors have taken a vested interest in all of this information and how companies are really operating. And the reality and the impact of climate change is really coming to the forefront. We're actually seeing the tangible results. If we think about the wildfires that are out in California that have been going on for more than a month now, the impact of the hurricanes that we've seen over the past several years. And then we're seeing a generational shift. Can I just pause for a second and get a little bit personal? I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but when I was in college, a sophomore in college, I was trying to decide on my major, and I ultimately chose accounting and then public accounting because of the Enron scandal. I remember just sitting there and listening to the radio and hearing about all of these people's lives that were devastated as a result of this scandal. And it made me really want to go into public accounting and make a change. And then from there, you know, my passion for social justice and for environmental issues, I was able to adjust my career and be able to focus on those concepts and those ideas within ESG. And it's not really just about me and you know, what my experience is. Like I said, it's an entire generation of people who are coming into the workforce with these ideas and these concerns, and they really just want to make a difference. And so, you know, not only do they want to make a difference in their day to day, but they're also driving the investment managers to be thinking about these things and caring about them, which is why we're seeing the socially responsible funds and the ESG ETFs.
Right. I mean, these issues are real. And I think your comments, and by the way, thank you for sharing that story. I thought it was excellent. You know, they reflect the social norms that are changing, and companies, businesses have to react. And I think we're starting to see some of that in some proxy disclosures or some standalone sustainability reports. Maybe share with the listeners a little bit about, you know, how you're seeing that evolve.
Yeah. So like you said, John, most companies who are doing any reporting are doing reporting in standalone sustainability reports. But we are starting to see it shift a little bit into broader annual reports, what are often called integrated reports. So taking business results as well as incorporating the ESG data with it. And then even some companies that are on the forefront putting this information in their 10Ks and their 10Qs. And so there's different risks around where this information sits and different levels of scrutiny and focus. So companies need to be thinking about that. And then also, really, what is it that you're reporting? And are you reporting the right things?
And Maura, maybe it's that piece of it that maybe I want to shift or pivot this conversation to think about now. Now, as companies react and embrace the need for more disclosure, you know, how do you believe and how do you think about how companies should think about going through making financial statement disclosures? How would you ask them, and what are you seeing along that journey?
I like how you reference it as a journey, John, because that's definitely how we think about it and how we are talking to our clients about it. So we have, I would say, about a three-step process as we go through and think, first, what should we be reporting on? And that process is often referred to as a materiality analysis. So you take into account the concerns and what is important to your stakeholders, as well as what's important to the business. And then you plot it and identify and prioritize the top 3 to 5 areas that the company really wants to focus on. From there, you can identify what reporting and metrics that you want to have around those priority areas. I think the important thing that I want to call out here is just that metrics and reporting are lagging indicators. They tell you where you've been, but they aren't telling you how you're going to get to where you want to go. And so it's really important to have established those metrics and established those targets. But then the next step is to build in the strategy and identify the initiatives that need to be put in place in order to make those metrics change and move over time. And then once you're comfortable with those metrics that are established and you've started to drive change within the organization, you can think about, you know, how you assure that those metrics are actually reflective of what's actually happening.
Yeah, and it's that piece of it, Maura, before we get deep into the steps, and I know you're touching on step one, and I like how you think about that. Is there an industry that's ahead of others in this journey?
I wouldn't say that there is a particular industry ahead of one another, because ESG has impacted industries so differently. So if you think about oil and gas and power and utilities, their operating models are being turned upside down in terms of what's being expected of them and how they're going to generate the energy that the world needs to be able to continue to operate. But on the other side, we have professional services companies, technology companies, and retail companies where their people are really the engines that are generating the value of the company. And so thinking about the impact of social inequities and how we treat our employees is absolutely critical. And so ESG, because it's so broad, impacts industries in very different ways. And that goes back to the idea of identifying the particular topics that are material to your company.
And that's where I want to dive down a little deeper, because what I'm hearing you say is the industries are still all trying to figure out how best to disclose those key factors that matter to their stakeholders. And as you talked about step one, the materiality assessment, can we go a little deeper and think about how does a company, regardless of industry, think about taking the steps necessary to come up with a framework that an outside auditor or outside agency can give assurance that the information that's being provided is accurate and complete? Words I know, more you love as an auditor just like me.
It's tricky, John. I think I saw a statistic the other day that there's 100+ standards and frameworks out there, and it's challenging to know which one should be followed and what is most important to be reporting on. And then what we're also seeing is that companies develop their own bespoke metrics to report on, because if you've identified a topic and you feel like your progress measurement isn't defined by one of these other standards and frameworks, you can just make up your own metrics at the moment. And so, you know, I think one of the things that's going to drive a change is investors and how investors are looking at this data and what they find to be decision useful. And so we need them to really step up and help define what it is that they want to see. But outside of that, there are a number of different movements going on that are working towards convergence of all of these standards and frameworks. So one that we have to highlight is the World Economic Forum and the International Business Council's work that was released initially in Davos, and then the final white paper was released a couple of weeks ago. In conjunction with the Big Four internationally, there's been this white paper established that identifies 21 core metrics and 34 expanded metrics that companies could follow. The ultimate goal, though, is really just convergence, because they've taken metrics that exist under all these various standards and frameworks and have tried to identify what the most accessible metrics are to help standardize what's expected of companies. We see hundreds and hundreds of hours just being sunk into filling out questionnaires, whether they're for ratings agencies or for because you're a vendor in someone's supply chain and they're trying to collect all of this information. And then we're also seeing some of the most popular standard setters like the SASB, the GRI, the CDSB coming out and saying they're now working together to try to move to standardization. And so I don't think we have an answer yet, but that is what we're going to see evolve over the coming months and years.
And that becomes critically important as we think about where audit committees and boards should be thinking about this topic, right? We hear that convergence and standardization is going to take some more time, but how would we advise audit committees and boards to think about what's their role in this whole ESG movement?
So we typically don't see audit committees taking on the full responsibility for ESG. Other board committees like the Nomination and Governance Committee or even a separate standalone Sustainability Committee is typically responsible for the overall ESG strategy and how the company is thinking about it and monitoring that progress. But with that said, audit committees are absolutely critical in knowing that and understanding what a company's strategy is around ESG, where this data is being reported, and making sure that the information that's going out to the public is reliable and accurate. And so some of the ways that audit committees can address that is by asking the questions, are we being transparent about what we're doing? Is it reflective of the actual initiatives that we have in place? And are we getting assurance of third-party assurance of the data that we're putting out into the public?
I love it. I was jotting down as you were talking, data integrity, completeness, and making sure that the information that's provided, that is the basis for it, that we're allowing and thinking about audit committees, boards, management, supporting the information that's out there with great data. And when we think about data, and certainly with your background, we're KPMG. We're a big four firm. We help clients solve problems. How would we help clients today in this space?
So there are a few different ways that we can help clients. First is with the materiality assessment that we've already talked about. The second piece is a benchmarking, so understanding what your peers are doing as well as what you're currently reporting and what initiatives you currently have in place against the existing standards and frameworks. And then from there, we can do what's called a readiness assessment, where the first and most critical piece of the readiness assessment is understanding the definition or the criteria that you're using for all of the metrics that are being reported. One of the biggest challenges that we see our clients face is that when they're global or multinational or even have offices scattered across the United States, there typically is not a system that automatically captures the data that needs to be reported. And so this information is being dropped into a spreadsheet and then aggregate it and collate it at a level that it's being aggregated and collated by someone who may or may not understand the data itself. And there's so much risk within that process. And so we first help make sure that the definition is standardized and that everybody understands that definition. And then we walk through the process to understand if there are controls and procedures in place that make it replicable and reliable. And then once the readiness assessment is complete and that company has identified the gaps in the areas for remediation in their process, they go back and they work on it. And then on the back end, we can provide the third party assurance and issue a publicly available opinion or report that assures that the information is appropriately reflected in their disclosures.
Maura, I love the insights over the divergence in benchmarking. And when I heard you talk about that, the first question that came to my mind was to think about, can we help a client choose which factors to report on?
So, John, one of the things that we have been doing with our clients is putting together workshops to help everyone understand what that reporting landscape even looks like, to understand the alphabet soup of standards and frameworks, understand the acronyms at a base, and then what fits into them. And then from there, we can guide and based off of the company's understanding of what their material topics are, what their investors are asking of them, and what initiatives and programs they actually currently have in place and the data that they're connecting and the data that they're collecting in order to see what the most efficient and effective standard or framework is that they should be reporting under.
Excellent. Maura, and for the listeners of the podcast, what are the one or two things that we hope they take away from our discussion today?
You know, if there's one thing that I want everyone to take away from this discussion is that ESG needs to be embedded within a company strategy. It absolutely has to be a part of the conversations at the board and management level, and then it needs to be translated into measurable goals for every department throughout the organization. Once those goals have been established, and those departments should be a part of that goal setting, they need to be appropriately resourced, incentivized, compensated, and then held accountable, because that's the only way that we're going to see measurable change, both in the world and in the long-term success of business. So thanks, John. It was great to talk to you today on this topic. I really appreciate your insightful questions and hope that this is the beginning of a much broader conversation.
Moore, thank you for your time and for sharing your insights into this evolving topic. And I look forward to continuing this topic with you on future podcasts as we think about and help companies react to these changing rules and regulations and disclosures. Thank you all for joining our podcast today, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this KPMG podcast. For more information on ESG, as well as the white paper recently released by the World Economic Forum, please be sure to visit our website at visit.kpmg.us/ESG. Be sure to stay tuned for more podcasts on ESG.